And then they had to go back to their home churches. And next weekend, you'll actually hear a little bit about what they did. Carl and hopefully Jacob and a couple others will tell you what happened there. But if you imagine that, you go out through your busy week, and exactly what Chris Tomlin was saying, God is healer. What I'm going to talk about right now is if we recognize that and we allow it. And that's a totally different story, totally different ballgame. Now, according to a writer, I have to actually read this part, Bill Hader, I don't know, sounds German. The only thing wrong with being retired is that you never get a day off. I've heard myself throughout the years, especially when my father retired, people actually become more busy in their retirement, and they pray for that extra hour extension in their day so they could get more done. Now, if you could raise your hand if you're retired. You don't have to if you don't want to admit it. Okay, probably about half here. I hope many more of you can be retired in the next couple of years. Yeah. It's hard to do nothing, and that's right. We're not supposed to do nothing. Hard to do nothing. And that's why when we become retired, or we have Saturdays and go on vacation, we try to pack it even more with more fun things to do, and then we need a vacation from our vacation. And we are familiar with the old saying, there's no rest for the weary, right? If that's the case, a lot of the church members here must be very weary. You see, when we cannot rest, we are not allowed. We can't rest as much as other people because they say that the powers of evil do not get the upper hand over working in the church. But nonetheless, we all, on occasion, do need our rest. Over the past 2 weeks, I felt that weariness myself. I went to write this sermon thinking about it. I'm like, I'm writing about myself right now. We found three or four leaks in the roof. Is Scott here? Right. How many?
I was downstairs getting the buckets of water.
Buckets of water. I think we had four. Four leaks in the roof over the last week and a half that we have to repair. Thinking about that, going to visit people, writing sermons. And then last weekend, I'm away with Michelle. We're worshiping on Sunday, and I'm sitting there worrying about how the worship here is going. Not to worry. No, it was taken care of. But as human beings, it's in the back of our minds. So I'm sitting there, oh man, this all this great music going on. I'm sitting there worrying about this. There's leaks in the roof. Where are we going to get the money? We have the money, but we'll talk about that at some other point. There's no rest for the weary. So prayer and meditation, mental relaxation, the stimulus is something consuming our interests, the delight of doing something to help someone else. These are different kinds of actions that we do, we're called to do. But they all have this in common. They can receive our energy, banish our tiredness, and we need to give our souls a chance to catch up with our bodies. Contemporary philosopher Anthony O'Hare, some years ago, wrote an insightful piece on our life in the fast lane, the humanity's need for rest and solitude. Here's what he had to say. Those of us accustomed to a life of modern diversion, TV, cell phones, Palm Pilots, that tells you how far long ago it was written, laptops at the ready, iPads now, everything else you can think of, cars that drive themselves, I would never trust that. This essential solitude and quiet will seem hard. It may even seem boring. But there is an old saying, beloved to ascetics, that it is because the trees are still that the birds come to them. Each of us has potential to bring to the world a unique perspective, a unique kind of wisdom. But to realize this, even for ourselves, we need space and quiet to escape the cliches of the conventional. You see, Sundays are no longer a holiday Sabbath day, and malls open 7 days a week, along with sports now being the mainstay or focus 7 days a week, including Sundays, makes us the losers of something essential. All of us need a Sabbath, which literally means a period of rest. We are actually commanded to do so. Commandment 4,
or 5.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Families still are running in every direction, some having to work on Sundays. There's precious little opportunity for the family members to gather together for rest, relaxation, and prayer. I remember as a child, going out, as I said before, going out to play, hanging out with friends. But we had that time. My father made the homemade pasta, linguine, lasagna, marinara sauce, garlic bread, Italian bread. We had a little bit of wine and water and everything you can think of. And homemade pies. And sometimes the 60,000 cousins in an Italian family would come over. Doesn't happen anymore. And that was only about 20 years ago. But now people would want to play soccer. Can't go to church today. We have a soccer tournament. God help us. But we, as people of God, need to do the enjoyable things also. Enjoyable things that strengthen the bonds of marriage, parent-child relationships. How can we live a healthy, full, meaningful life if there is no time for us as individuals or together as couples and families? Think about it. Why, if Jesus and the disciples need time for rest and certainly prayer, why would we feel that we do not? Why would we think that we are better, stronger? See, Chris Tomlin sings that right out in his chorus for today's song. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Did you hear that? Our God is healer. Our God is strong. Jesus is completely human. Jesus is completely divine. Yet he still needs rest. He recognizes the human beings he's working with, disciples needing rest. They need to give God time to work out that healing. God works through us in that song, through those lyrics refilling our coffers, and that's why we have music as well. Remember sitting there Friday, reading books downstairs, music playing. Music. We just started falling asleep, refilling our coffers for getting grouchy. But we need to sleep. We need rest. God calls us, built us to need that rest. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through us in those moments for healing. God works through the Scripture. Scripture is healing. It's learning. It's God working through all of us. And we have an example of it in today's gospel. We hear that the apostles have returned from their mission of preaching, that they're sent out to do, commissioned to do. Jesus, being the excellent listener and caregiver that he is, sees how tired they are when they return. Indeed, Mark tells us that even the overbearing crowds don't recognize that they need rest and relaxation. They need to pray. Not even enough time to eat. And didn't these people realize how demanding that they were being? Imagine that in your life. I'm sure you witnessed that. Come home from work, you're exhausted. You know you have to make dinner, and then your kids want something else. Your neighbors need something. There's 13 messages on the voicemail. You have a list of things you have to do when you get home. Instead of just sitting there, unwinding, reading some scripture, listening to some music, and letting yourselves heal. Finding that deserted place like Jesus and the disciples tried to do. It is here, though, that we witness Jesus' caring, his compassion, not only to the crowd, but to his disciples. And as today's believers, we need a time out to reflect, to meditate, and to pray. It is surely a necessity, and we all know it deep down. We cannot deny this truth to be self-evident. Peace and quiet time helps us to recharge our spiritual batteries, to let everything out, and to shift that focus into the larger picture, which is not our own daily lives. It is what? Being children of God. Our relationship with God. Our families, which is also part of our relationship with God. The people, our community, which includes our relationship with God. And that is exactly what Chris Tomlin is singing about, a relationship with God. We, like the disciples, need to give our souls a chance to catch up. So I compliment each of you for being here this morning. It is not easy to even leave an air-conditioned house on a day like this to come to church. But I applaud you. We need it for our ministry. We need you. Yet we are aware that it is not always easy, especially in the middle of July. Notice in our gospel today that there is a kind of rhythm or balance also in the movement of Jesus and his disciples. Verse 34 reads, if you have your Bibles or anything, please look at them. And I hope you're looking at your questions. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You see, even too much solitude is dangerous. Too much peace and quiet is not good for any of us. It is then that we become self-centered and self-serving. So where is that balance? We need to find it. And it is true that we cannot give to others unless we have something to give. Refill your coffers so you can give back. It is also true that we cannot give to others if we forget about them altogether or refuse to give them what we ourselves have received. So you think about it. They go to a national youth gathering. They listen to music like this. They're pumped up. They're ready to come back. But come back to do what? Come back to give back what they have received. So if Carl and Jacob and some of the adults come back, listen to them. Listen to their stories. It is crucial that they have that outlet, because now they are recharged. You will see different people. To take, receive what they have to give back to you. And that is what Jesus and the disciples were doing. Go back to the desert. Go back to the deserted place, the wilderness. Receive the recharging of God's message, God, the Holy Spirit working through them, so you can go out and fulfill what you were charged to do. That needs to be us also. We need to recognize in each of us the power of rest and prayer, the power of devotions each day, the power of the gospel that we just listened to. Along the same lines, we need to recognize the power of the compassion, which is a byproduct of everything that we spend refilling our coffers with. You see, it's a cycle. Each day needs to be a cycle. It's a byproduct of discipleship. We need also to get rest with Jesus. It's a weird statement, I know. Get rest with Jesus. We believe Jesus is both Son of God truly human, but how does that play out in God's plan? Jesus, as the unity with God, active daily. The body, soul, spirit of Jesus are secure in the connection physically and emotionally with his Father. A way that allows the presence of God's love to know sinners, and that is us. This way allows humankind to experience in this life and also in death to come. Eternal heavenly kingdom. So look at 2 Samuel if you can in your bulletin. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we learn about a time King David was not engaged in battle, but instead was enjoying a rest the Lord had given him and a time of peace. Remember the story. How many kingdoms out there are trying to destroy David and his? God works through David, but after he wins so many things, he says, David, rest. But we hear, now it came about when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side of all his enemies all around him, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tent curtains. Nathan said to the king, go, do all this that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you. But in the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? You see, God planned a time of peace for David. We don't know how long it might have been, but King David, in all his wisdom, as we hear about all through Samuel, he does a very human thing. He puts yet another piece on his plate, another thing to accomplish he was not even supposed to do. He didn't recognize. God gives you this peace time. Enjoy it. Refill. Pray. Give thanks. And just chill out, dude. No, he needs to go conquer more kingdoms and build a place for God to sleep in, because, you know, God needs a nice house. So, what do we take from all of this? What is the lesson here? Look at those questions I produced for you. Michelle was gracious enough to edit and copy. Fill in the answers. Today after church, go out, discuss them. I know a lot of you like to go to the diner. Sit around each other, discuss the questions. There is so much more here to unpack than the last 10 minutes. So much more. Will we trust in the gospel and the Ten Commandments? Vital questions. Believe it or not, there's actually many more Ten Commandments we could have discussed in this one passage. Will we remember or observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy? That way we are refreshed, reorganized, re-energized to live out God's mission for all of us, especially at Emmanuel here. Can we accept those promises that the Lord has given us? Where are we with our devotions, our prayers, and so on? Where are we with our relationships, especially with God? Now please look at these questions, especially the last question. What will we change in our lives? If nothing else today, ask yourself, what will you change in your life? It might just be as simple as saying, God, please help me. I don't know how to do this. And right there, you're opening yourself more to a stronger relationship with Christ. How will you keep the Sabbath day and trust in the promises of God? Think about that following it. How will we strengthen that relationship together? It starts with keeping the Sabbath day. Amen.
red light?
Gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Indeed, you know that you are holy, almighty and merciful God. You are most holy and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We also give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for your salvation. For that reason, that the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, In the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. And we ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we all, who share in the body and blood of Christ, may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance through our faith and our belief with all of your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. And now may we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now come to the